Welcome to Weem Weekly, produced by 91.7 WEEM. You can find this podcast on our website at 917WEEM.org or wherever podcasts are found. Today, I'm sitting down with Mr. Taylor for this edition of Weem Weekly. How are you today?
I'm doing wonderful, Hannah. Thank you.
So what information do you have for us on scholarships this year?
Yeah, so when we meet with, we typically meet with our juniors and we talk about a scholarship season. And that scholarship season typically starts in early October and then runs all the way through, say, April, end of April, beginning of, before summer. Scholarships can be found in a variety of locations, and it's really up to the student how much work they want to put into it is really going to give them the best opportunity to land some of those scholarships. The big one that starts the year off is usually the Lilly Scholarship. And that is, there are two in Madison County, and that usually the process begins in September, and then the application is due sometime in October, and they make a decision in December. Then after that, there are two foundations, Madison Community Foundation and South Madison Community Foundation. They start right before Christmas or right after Christmas. South Madison is due February 15th. Madison County Foundation is due March 1st. And so it's really up to the students to fill out those scholarships. We put them on the website. We announce them. We put on Canvas. So we try to give students multiple areas to access those. A couple other websites that students have used in the past has been fastweb.com as well as FinAid. Those are two websites. They have an enormous amount of scholarships that come in. My one cautionary statement is just make sure you check your emails, because if you don't, it become overwhelming. And then what we see students is just going delete, 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 delete instead of filling them out. So we also cover a lot of this. I mentioned the junior meeting earlier. So we go through with juniors to kind of say, hey, here's where you can access the scholarships.
Yeah, I think our school definitely does a wonderful job of getting out scholarships, because I know I had all the information to apply for scholarships and be prepared for college, which I'm really, really thankful for.
Awesome.
So on the topic of colleges, how do you research and what available resources are there to find your perfect fit for a college?
Sure. It would be nice if there was like one inventory a student could take and say, hey, you're a perfect match for this institution, right? No, that doesn't exist. So we have a couple of different ways that we get kids to start researching colleges. I first want to emphasize earlier, the better. Okay. And when I mean early, hey, freshman, sophomore year, if you know that you want to go to college, start researching them. It's pretty simple now with everything being virtual. You can access almost anything online now from a college. You can do a virtual tour of colleges. You can also ask questions of admissions people virtually. So what we try to tell the students is, obviously, one, they always ask, well, I don't know what I want to major in. Don't let that stop you from researching colleges. If you know you're going to go to a four-year school, but you do not know what you want to major in, that's perfectly fine. Colleges get that. We do have what's called the Indiana Career Explorer, and that's an interest inventory, and they will do a match with you as far as different colleges, different majors based upon what you put in. We used to use Naviance. Then that was getting a little too costly. So this Indiana Career Explorer is free for students. So we asked them to go in and take that. The other thing that I like to do is I emphasize college visits, okay? And do it more than once. It's simple, and I think most colleges are opening up now that you can do an in-person visit to where you're going to go up and visit a college, and every college campus you go into, what I've seen is kids are going to go like, that's awesome. I love that. I love that. So that's why I say do multiple visits, because in that second visit, you're past the mystique of the college. And then maybe you get into more of the, hey, do they have what I want to do? If kids are not sure, so say they have like three or four different interest areas. My take on that is, choose a college that has at least two of those. So if you change majors, you don't have to change the institution. Another thing that I like to do is informational interviews. So if you can get up on the campus and say you wanted to major, in nursing. We'll just say nursing. Well, the admissions department of that particular university is going to give you some generic basic stuff. Set up a time to meet with the nursing department. Find out what their requirements are. Find out the difficulty of the classes. And if you meet that criteria, is there something you need to take in your high school curriculum that's going to make you a better fit?
Yeah, I think it's great, especially because you said start early. I started early for sure, and I started narrowing it down just throughout based on scholarships and based on what felt right when I was visiting, because I have visited. I visited IU, and I thought, because I'm a huge IU fan, I was like, that's where I'm going to go. But no, I was freaking out. I was like, this is way too big. And you just kind of know when you visit. And if you do your research, you can definitely tell, well, this doesn't really have what I want, and you can kind of knock it off your list. Because I started off and I was like, IU is the best, but then ISU has the program that I want to go into, and DePaul has a high acceptance rate into medical school. So I was down between those two. And then in the end, ISU was just the one that shined through, and I picked that one.
Yeah. And I think that's a great point, is that that's the reason why I like on-campus visits, because you do get a feel for the campus. Even with my four kids that have gone through, and they have said the same thing, that without that visit, you know, personal example, I give you my oldest daughter. We went, she was in nursing. She graduated from Indiana State. We went up to Purdue, and they have an outstanding nursing program. But she got up there and she said, Dad, this is just way too big. And we didn't even finish the visit, to be real honest. So it's one of those, college visits are so important, just so you can get a feel. And when you go on those visits, speak with kids, speak with students. You know, we went around, you know, we were just walking around campus, and we just talked to a couple of kids walking around campus. Just say, hey, what do you think about the campus? What would you do? And, you know, what would you do over if you had to? But that's a great point.
So with college, another big part of picking a college is money. So what information do you have on the FAFSA?
Yeah, so the FAFSA form is, it opens up your senior year, October 1. That will use your parents' taxes from the previous year. So say, you know, you're applying for 2021, your parents will use 2020 taxes to determine your FAFSA. And that's going to determine your need-based eligibility. We always tell everybody to go ahead and fill out the FAFSA. Most colleges are required anyway. And if something changes in your circumstances, as long as you have that file, you can file an addendum or an amendment to that, to what you placed. I always also tell students that, you know, it's nice now that you can do it in October, because you can do all your college stuff right now. You can do your application, you can do your test scores if needed, and you can do your financial information. And if you get all in, say sometime in November, probably by Christmas, you're going to know not only if you've been accepted or not, but also you'll get that award letter from the university breaking down the cost and breaking down what they think or how they think you can pay for it. So that's kind of nice. If you're not sure how to fill out the FAFSA form, the state of Indiana has what's called College Goal Sundays, specifically geared towards, all it is answering FAFSA questions and helping a parent fill it out. It usually happens in November and February. So those are two dates that you can take a look at. The one bit of advice I can give, start early, and there's what's called a FAFSA ID or a FAFSA pin. You got to get that first before you can fill it out. So make sure you just get that pin before you go to a website with all your stuff ready to fill out. You're going, oh, I can't do it just yet because I don't have the pin. And you can get your pin anytime.
The FAFSA was a little bit hard because obviously my mom, I'm her first and her only, but it was just hard for her. But then we kind of just did some research, and we almost did a College Goal Sunday, but we didn't. But even without that, I feel like if you just put the work in, it's not that difficult.
The other place you can go for questions is if you know what university you're going to go to, like you said, ISU, you could call ISU's financial aid office and ask the questions about the FAFSA, and they will walk you through it. They deal with it every day. In our department, we shy away from answering those questions just because it's not something we deal with every day, and we don't want to steer a student wrong. So we steer you to the people who know those answers because they do it on a daily basis.
Yeah, I think there's definitely enough resources to get that done in a timely manner and just find out what your financial award will be and just help you to make that final decision.
Sure.
So besides, these are for more upperclassmen, but now let's move on to the underclassmen. So what information do you have on classes and scheduling?
Okay, so we've wrapped up the scheduling process before Christmas, but students can still change their schedule. So it's one of those that, you know, if they need to change something, they can just email their counselor, probably the quickest. They just need to say, add this class, drop this class. The other thing that they, the resource we have out there is on their Canvas account, as well as on our webpage, is the coursebook, which has all the information about all the classes we offer. The scheduling sheets are also on there as well. I know there is talk, there may be some talk about, are we going to offer virtual the next year? Are we not? I think that decision's coming out here fairly soon. And so students will just need to decide, you know, whether they're going to go virtual or they're not going to go virtual. Right now, we've scheduled everybody as if they're going to be back in person. So, you know, if that changes, then that's okay. We just want to make clear, I think one of the things that we want to make clear that if they choose to go virtual, then we will have to drop their in-person schedule. And if they decide to come back, there's no guarantee they're going to get that same schedule back. But all the resources are out there. And if they have questions, absolutely contact us, contact your counselor, and we can answer any of those class changes or scheduling questions that they may have.
I think that your department does a great job of scheduling, because I know the four times that I've done it, I have had great schedules and I've never had really any issues, and any changes that I need to do, they're always made. And I'm super thankful for that, because the classes that I have had in high school, I've succeeded, and I really feel like that's because of my schedule.
Cool. Good to hear. That's excellent.
So I know with COVID and just in general, students are struggling academically. So what are some resources available for them?
Yeah. So, we always try to come up with a tutor list. So every teacher has access to a student tutor list is what it is. It basically lists the name of the students, what they're willing to tutor in, and if there's specific seasons, fall, winter, or spring, that they're more apt or more available to schedule. The other couple of resources have come, at least this one resource has come to us in the past couple of years. It's called tutors.com. All you need is a Pendleton library card. And then you can go to that website, put in the number on the back of that library card, and have access to a live tutor for free. Khan's Academy has been another one that we've done. They do whiteboard sessions. So if you have, you know, say you got a pre-calculus problem or something like that, you can type that in on Khan's Academy, and it will come up and do a whiteboard session how to walk that through. The other one is 1-800-ASK-ROSE. So those are Rose Holman students that are available from 7 to 10 p.m. Monday through Thursday. But going back, the first thing I always ask students, have you talked with your teacher? You know, and it's amazing the number of students say, well, no, I didn't know, or I didn't want to be a bother. And I know sometimes students are embarrassed to ask questions. I've been there. I was one of those students. And so what I suggest students on that if you're struggling in a class and you don't want to raise your hand during class, talk to the teacher before, after school, or before, after class. They're more than willing to help you. Or even email that teacher and say, hey, I'm really struggling with this. I don't get the concept. Can you help me out? And with teachers becoming pretty good with Google Meets, you might even be able to do a Google Meet with them if you need to.
I think when I was younger, I never wanted to ask questions, especially freshman and sophomore year. And then when junior and senior year came around, I'm not afraid to approach teacher and just be like, I don't understand this. And I think they're really helpful. And the tutor list at school, I'm on it. And I know I have gotten calls, and I really try to help those students. And I hope that people that may be struggling, that they will use the resources that you mentioned, because just asking a question, it's not embarrassing. And I really hope that they will just reach out and get the help that they need.
Yeah. Yeah. So because you're right. I mean, remember, you guys are students. You don't know everything. And that's what you're supposed to be teaching. And I always say we all have areas that we need help in, even adults. And so it's okay to ask for that help, you know, to better understand it.
Another resource available are the counselors. So when are you and the other counselors available for meetings?
Sure. Basically anytime. And so what we try to do is we have those little forms I think most people are aware of in our office or in our department that you can fill out. But to be real honest, because we check our email so much, it's really easier just to email us and say, hey, can I come down and meet with you? And if we're in the middle of something, we'll just say, hey, can it wait? But if it's an emergency and the kid, you know, a student responds, no, I really need to meet with you now, we'll call you down. And so it's as simple as that. And sometimes we'll just email you back and that student shows their teacher that's their pass, or sometimes we'll send a pass. But we try to be available as much as possible. During COVID, when we were, you know, everybody was virtual, it was real tough. I did not feel like we were well connected. So I'm glad to be back in school. I feel like there's more of a connection now, and we're more of a resource for the students. Even though we were there, I just don't think students knew how to reach out. And so I'm glad to be coming back, quote, normal, a little bit more being in person.
Yeah, I'm just thankful overall to be in person because I feel like a lot of the things are just disconnected when you're at home and you're just like, well, what if they're busy? Or, but when you're in person, you know that they're there and they are always there to help you. Is there any information from the counseling department that you would like to include?
Yeah, so we have a couple exciting partnerships that we came up with. So we kind of talked about the academic struggles that students are having, but I tell you what, a lot of students are struggling mental health-wise too, and so are a lot of adults. And so we've always had Centerstone. So they're a mental health facility. Jenny Connors, the therapist that comes in, and she's been meeting with kids. We just struck a deal with Bowen Center, and they are offering three free sessions to students on anything. I mean, it could be mental health services. It could be if they need to find housing, if they need to find clothes, they will support that. We're angling it more towards the mental health services. So the student would just need to either contact us or we have flyers. If they did not want to go through our office, they can contact Bowen Center directly, let them know they're a Pendleton Heights student. And then they can get those sessions going. They'll do an intake session, which will count as one of them. And then they have two other sessions to kind of determine what the course of action will be. And so after that point in time, they do accept insurance as well as Medicaid, I believe it is. I always get Medicaid and Medicare confused. But it is something that we're excited. It just started offering for the students because we really want, we didn't want funds to be an issue for students to be able to get the help they need. So when Bowen Center came down and said, hey, we're willing to do this, we thought that was great. Centerstone has been with us. They've been a great partner as well. And so we have two in-house mental health services that students can choose from. If they need more information on that, they can contact our office. Or like I said, we have the Centerstone information and Bowen Center put up around school as well.
That's wonderful that those resources are available. I know a lot of kids are struggling just because of COVID and just in general, even if COVID wasn't existent, it is a hard time to be a teenager. I know even with when we were all e-learning, I was just fearful of, oh my gosh, what if I don't get to have that graduation or prom? And I was upset some days, but I was not afraid to admit it. And I would just, I wasn't at the point where I needed counseling, but I could just talk to my mom. And I really hope kids who are struggling more than I did, that they aren't embarrassed to reach out and they will get the help that they need.
Yeah. And Hannah, you put a good point in there. I hope kids aren't embarrassed because if they don't feel like reaching out to one of their high school counselors here, reach out to somebody, reach out to a friend, reach out to a parent, because that's imperative. We know that they're struggling and we know sometimes there's that stigmatism that goes along with mental health. And we want to get rid of that. It's okay. We know you are struggling. And you know what? Your classmates are struggling too. We have adults that are struggling. So it's okay to reach out. Don't think you have to do this alone. Like I said, if you're not comfortable reaching out to your school counselor, reach out to a teacher, reach out to a parent, reach out to a friend, reach out to Bowen Center, reach out to someone. So we can get you the resources. And sometimes, like you said, it's just talking with a parent, just talking you through it. Because like you said, you know, we didn't know if we were going to have graduation. And just like last year in class of 2020, you know, that was an unusual. And so we get that. So reach out to someone. That's a good point that you make.
Well, thank you so much for joining me here today. I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you, Hannah. I appreciate it.
So I'm sitting down here with Mr. Hunkler here on 91.7 with the Podcast Weekly. And I just have a couple of questions to ask you, if that's all right.
That's fine by me. Yeah.
So you did bring the Changing Minds group here to PHHS. And what is the main definition of that?
Okay. Bring Change of the Mind, which was actually introduced to me by Mr. Taylor, our guidance counselor. He brought me on board. And it's really geared towards students. So we have a strong student core. But basically, Bring Change to Mind is just a group really dedicated to start conversations around mental health. Yeah. There's a big stigma right now where if somebody starts talking about mental health, it's too personal, it's too private, something that should be kept to yourself sort of mentality. And we're trying to avoid that because everybody has a state of mental health. Some have great mental health. Some have mental health that could use a little attention or... basically, it's like physical health. You know, there are people who are healthier than others. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing with mental health. But with nowhere to actually talk about it or no one to actually talk about it with, you're pretty much stuck on your own. So you don't really know how you are mental health-wise. And so that's what this whole group's dedicated for, to just advocate and let people know that there's a space and a place and a time to talk about mental health. And it's right now, right here.
Yeah. Tonight. So during that group, what's your like events or what are you doing to make sure you're known in the community?
Yeah, this year's been an incredibly hard year to start this group because we're a social group.
Yeah.
We're intended to do social things and interact a lot with each other. And yeah, we've been kind of restricted in that regards, but Abby Bowers has been single-handedly started a conversation with 27 individuals in this building, interviewing each one, recorded the interviews, and we're producing PSAs with those to kind of spread out through social media and kind of promote the idea that there are many people in this building that are dealing with mental health issues or have had mental health issues that they have overcome and they want to tell their story. And knowing that there are students like this in this building will hopefully empower those who've always wanted to have a discussion to just reach out and start talking.
Yeah, I know it was hard with COVID with all that related issues, yeah, but since, you know, we got listeners here, how would they would reach out if they wanted to join the group?
We are meeting every Wednesday after school, a very informal sort of social gathering. We're distantly spaced, obviously, to follow COVID restrictions, but we're starting just having an open house sort of come hang out. Let's talk movies. Let's talk music. Let's talk about our favorite foods, or let's start conversations however we need to. And this is all starting in room 112, my photography room, every Wednesday after school from 2:30 to 3:30. Come as long as you want to, stay as long as you like. And then hopefully as more and more people get involved, we can start training each other how to listen, how to start conversations, how to talk to parents about mental health, how to talk to teachers about mental health, how to talk to your colleagues about mental health, and where everybody can go and advocate for themselves and for other people. And that's the idea of what we're trying to start.
Yes, it's some of the students, you know, with announcements, they don't really listen. So I was just bringing up the point that if they needed to, that would be a good
way
to reach out. But since we're here talking right now, what is like the biggest event or thing that you've reached out to the community with? What has been the biggest?
Right now, we are actually in talks with the South Madison Substance Abuse Prevention Coalition.
That's good.
And we're trying to team up with them, and we have a few projects in the works that I can't really talk too much about.
Yeah, I figured it was like not in the...
A little bit. But right now, the PSA event is the biggest one we're trying to roll out. Abby, you spent a long time putting that together. We had one PSA come out right before spring break, and we plan to release a few more before school ends just to help promote. But right now, our biggest goal is to lay down some groundwork so people will come back next year and remember that we exist, you know, that we're part of the...
That's been a big, like, push out, more difficult with COVID, but I'm glad you just came here and told me about what the group is and for the students.
Well, I appreciate you inviting me in.
Yep. This is 91.7 WEM Parker Dean with the WEM Weekly.
And now the WEM box office.
Hello and welcome to the Arabian Movie Talk section of the WEM Weekly podcast. I am Ryan Fire, and I am joined by Jared Jackson as we are here this week to talk about the upcoming movies for the rest of this year.
All right, yeah. So a movie that we have that we must talk about, Ryan, that we must talk about, was King Kong vs. Godzilla. It has already grossed about $300 million in sales and is on track to beat out all the predecessors of both King Kong and Godzilla movies that have come out in recent years, of course. This is the largest box office for the month of March since 2020, excuse me, because of COVID and all that stuff. So we are going to talk about that movie. I have watched it. I'm not sure if you have, Ryan.
I have not.
You have not. All right. So we must stay spoiler free. One, because of our fans, and two, because of you, of course.
Thank you.
So, Ryan, what is your thoughts on the movie?
Well, I'm really looking forward to watching it. I know I'm going to get HBO Max here in about 2 days or so, so I can watch it, Mortal Kombat and Justice League, but it's got to be the one I'm up there most wanting to watch. I remember watching Kong Skull Island back in, I think it came out in 2018, 2017, and it's one of my favorite movies of all time. I thought it was just so great, and Godzilla King of Monsters was great too 2 years ago when it came out, and I'm so much looking forward to them finally clashing in this big movie. you know, I've seen all the monster movies in the past and when they clash, but the way they shoot the new ones and the way their graphics look and stuff, it looks so much
CGI.
Yeah. It looks so much better nowadays, I think.
So who are you rooting to win this battle of the century?
I always root for Kong.
Monkey?
Yes.
Monkey wins.
The monkey always wins. He's the biggest gorilla in the world. He's so much more athletic, in my opinion. He can fight much better than Godzilla.
Honestly, so. I'd have to go with the radioactive lizard himself, Godzilla, the king of monsters, of course. I personally love Godzilla. My dad is actually a huge fan of the Godzilla series, so I've watched a bunch of the old classics of Godzilla and all his movies with, like, Mothra and Ghidorah and what's another one?
I mean, I know there's Mecha Godzilla.
Yeah, Mecha Godzilla. He's pretty cool. Godzilla.
There's a space
Godzilla. There's a space Godzilla, Ryan.
I do not know about that one.
He is actually really cool looking.
I mean, they always look cool, but.
They always do, honestly. All right. So, Ryan, let's talk about another movie that's coming up soon. Mortal Kombat.
Oh, yes. Mortal Kombat. Set to come out on April 23rd, later this month, on HBO Max and in theaters. It's the first Mortal Kombat movie, and it's got to be
quite a while.
Yeah, it's got to be like almost a decade at least now. But I'm so looking forward to watching the movie.
Yeah, it's been a while since I have seen the Mortal Kombat movies. Like, I know they're not exactly the best movies in cinema history. But there's something to remember, honestly. I guess that kind of goes for some Star Wars movies. I know I'm a big fan of Star Wars, so you're really not, but there's kind of a tie-in in there because there's some Star Wars movies that are kind of, it's okay, but I will remember it. And that kind of goes for Mortal Kombat here. I've been playing the game Mortal Kombat for a long time.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's been one of the first games I ever played. I'm not even sure why I played it. So
I think it comes more from like when you're a kid, you see the blood and the gore of the game and you think, well, that's something my parents don't want me to be playing. So I want to play it more now.
Yeah.
That's what Mortal Kombat always was to me.
Hopefully in the new Mortal Kombat movie, they focus on the main character in almost all the games and movies. Liu Kang, who is going to be probably in the movie. I'm guessing, because he's always the main character.
From the trailers, it looks like he's the main character still, and he's being trained by Raiden, like usual, for the tournament and saving Earthrealm. So.
Yeah, and they got to fight, like, Scorpio, Kano, and Sub-Zero, Sonya Blade, and Jack. So who is your favorite character in Mortal Kombat?
Well, I always used to say Sub-Zero when I was littler, and I like Reptile, but he's not in the movie, so...
Wait, he won't be in the movie?
As far as I know, he's not on the cast list or anything. There's nobody playing Reptile.
Dang. I love Reptile. He's my go-to character.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorites of all time. So, speaking of fighter-type movies, we got a new movie on the horizon by Marvel, Black Widow. So, it's set to come out for July 9th for both theaters and Disney+. If you have not heard of that. And I'm pretty sure the main character in it, as provided by the title, will be Black Widow, of course, in the MCU.
Right.
We gotta say this now. There will be spoilers for Endgame in this podcast.
Of course, this Black Widow movie is a predecessor to the current MCU timeline as, here's that spoiler, she died in the end of Endgame when Hawkeye let go of hers for the Soul Stone to... Was it the Soul Stone?
Yeah, it was the Soul Stone.
Okay,
so you had to, like, exchange a soul for another soul.
Right.
So they'll be taking on the main villain in the movie, Taskmaster, to try and take her back to the bad side and fight for their team once again or something.
Yeah, she was not a super soldier, but she was created and trained for fighting for the Russian spies, maybe, I think. I think that's what it was. Mm-hmm. But she never really adapted well to that style. She wasn't really a bad guy like the rest of them. So now she's left from that Taskmaster force and stuff, but he's coming to get her back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've also seen the cast list, and I have noticed that David Harbour is in the movie, and he plays Jim Hopper in Stranger Things. That's how I know him. I mean, he probably was in another movie at some point in time.
He looks familiar to me, but...
He was a main character in Stranger Things, and that's what I remember him from.
Right.
I love that series, actually.
I've never watched it. I've always heard it's good, and I know my dad used to watch it, and David Harbour was one of his favorite characters from it, or Jim Hopper was his character name, but yeah.
Yeah.
But Florence Pugh is the one that interested me more because she was in a wrestling movie a few years back with Fighting With My Family, the story of Paige, playing the role of Sierra Knight, who became known as Paige, and I thought she was a great actor and really showed a lot of promise for future movies. So now that she's in the MCU, I'm really excited to see what she does.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we're all really, really excited about all these new characters coming to the MCU. And speaking of MCU and keeping on the same topic, Spider-Man No Way Home coming out in December of this year. A lot of fans are talking about that. Ryan, what is your view on that?
Well, I'm not the biggest Spider-Man fan, but I get the appeal. I really do. I think Tom Holland's been a great Spider-Man, but he's not going to be the only Spider-Man here because Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire are returning to the series so that they can play the role of Spider-Man as they all team up together to face the evil force of Dr. Octopus in the new movie. I'm really looking forward to it. I think it'll be very interesting to see three different Spider-Mans on screen at the same time.
Now, I do remember this at one point in time. They did ask those characters, well, not those characters, but those actors, if they were starring in the new Spider-Man. And, of course, they said no. But on a bunch of cast listings and stuff, it says they're in it. So who's right and who's wrong?
Cast listings. They are definitely in it.
Yeah.
They wouldn't say that they're going to be in it, but... because they want to keep it as a secret. They don't want to tell fans what's going to happen in the movie, but...
It kind of is revealed in the cast, of course.
Yeah, it's not a spoiler. I think most people expected it for the new Spider-Man this December, so...
It deals with, like, multiverse and magic and stuff, so it's going to probably involve Doctor Strange.
Yes, he is on the cast listing, yes. Actually, too, so...
Yeah, I actually like that movie.
Doctor Strange?
Doctor Strange. I thought that was really weird...
I can't remember if I saw it or not. I think I've seen like half of it or something. I think he's a really good character and
like bends buildings and stuff and they all fight on like bending buildings and they stop time. Mm-hmm. It's so weird and stuff. So I did see like Far From Home a little bit. I wasn't really paying attention to the movie because of course I'm doing some other random thing at the same time.
Oh yeah, always.
Yeah. I thought it was all right. I really like Homecoming. I thought that one was really cool.
Which one came first?
Homecoming, then Far From Home. And
Homecoming
then No Way
came
Home.
First. So yeah. That's probably the one I watched. Yeah.
It's where he gets like a bus and like hits people with it.
Yes, I remember the bus. Yeah. I think it was a good movie, and I think Tom Holland is better at the role. So,
Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings will be coming out September 3rd. With all new characters, such as Shang-Chi.
That's the only character I know the name of, but I am not familiar with this comic at all. But I am very interested in seeing what they do with the character because I know that they probably will make it a big character for the MCU going forward in the Avengers movies. He'll be, I don't want to say he's going to be like a new Black Panther, but he'll be close.
Yeah.
He'll be close to the same thing. Like, he's not an official Avenger, but he's going to be around and making... a lot of moves.
Rest in peace, Chadwick Boseman.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Oh, another MCU movie that's coming out, it will be Fantastic Four.
Is that coming out this year?
I don't think it's coming out this year, but I think it's coming out next year. I do think that the guy who played Jim is in The Office is going to be the main character.
John Krasinski,
yes.
He's going to be in it. I saw that a long time ago. I am excited about it, though. I've always loved the Fantastic Four movies. Like, when it was with Chris Evans back in...
the early 2000s.
Yeah, it's like 2006 or something with Chris Evans in it. I thought he was... when he was Human Torch, I thought those movies were great, and... you know, Rise of Silver Surfer was also great, but when they revamped it in 2015,
No.
You don't like that one?
I didn't like it. The only thing I liked about it was The Thing.
Okay, yeah, he was really
I
good.
Thought the CGI on The Thing was way much better than it was earlier. But other than that, I didn't like the new characters. And Stan Lee did not make an appearance in that movie because he did not want that movie to be made.
Did he not?
No, I don't think so. Because he did not make an appearance.
I can't remember one, so yeah.
Another Marvel movie. Marvel's just popping out movies left and right, of course.
They always do.
I know. Another one. Venom.
Venom's great. I like Venom. I like the character a lot.
Yeah. So I saw the first movie and I actually really liked it. Although the problem was it really didn't deal much with Spider-Man.
Yes.
And they said it was not canon with the MCU timeline.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was really upsetting because I really wanted to see him in like some Spider-Man movie and see Tom Holland like face off against Venom.
Well, I think we might see that actually because I think we're going to get Spider-Man 4 down the line, of course.
Yeah.
And I think that might be finally Spider-Man versus Venom.
Yeah.
Because they both have movies this year coming out. So you can lead to a one in 2 years' time or so where you finally get that big clash between the characters that are so known for facing each other in these movies.
Yeah. In the new Venom movie, it actually stars one of my favorite symbiotes, which is Carnage. Him and Venom are actually going to face off in the new movie.
Because Venom has a new director running the movies now.
Mm-hmm.
So I listed that as because when James Gunn left the Guardians of the Galaxy, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is still a great movie.
Yes.
Everybody loves it. But the actors noticed a lot of changes in how they were playing it, and they weren't as inspired as when they played it in the first one. So that could be the same thing that happens in this new Venom series.
Yeah. That's actually really upsetting. So I remember the actors actually off the top
Chris
of my
Pratt.
Chris Pratt, that's it.
Yeah.
He and a few other people were actually talking about how they were gonna leave set during production.
Chris Pratt and Dave Bautista both said that they were gonna leave because they didn't like that James Gunn wasn't there anymore.
Yeah.
They much preferred the movies when he was there.
Why was James Gunn no longer there? Do you remember why?
He made some comments online or something.
Oh.
But they weren't bad enough because I think he is listed as the new director for Guardians Galaxy 3 when they eventually do that one.
Hopefully that one's really good because I am a huge fan of the Guardians of the Galaxy series.
I mean, they have to be like, nobody knew who the Guardians of the Galaxy were going into those films.
That's what made it great, of course.
Yeah. They somehow became like the stars of the MCU, and when Infinity War and Endgame came around, those were who people were most excited to see coming into the movie.
Yeah.
Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Oh, yeah, right it's now. Already out. Yeah, that's it. Comes out every Friday, I assume.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I no longer have Disney Plus, so I can't really watch that sort of stuff. I got rid of it once Star Wars The Clone Wars ended.
Don't you mean Mandalorian?
Mandalorian, yes,
yeah.
I'm sorry. Thank you for correcting me.
And stuff
Mandalorian Season 2, once it ended, I canceled my Disney Plus. Because that's all I really used it for.
But Mandalorian might have new seasons.
It will, eventually.
Yeah, so you have to get it back, and then you can check
next
out.
Next year.
Next year?
Next year, they're starting Mandalorian Season 3.
Okay. But you should watch Loki. You should get it back for Loki.
Yeah, I really want to watch Loki.
Looks so good.
I love the Loki character, and like...
Oh, yeah. Tom
the trailer is just...
What's his name? Tom Hiddleston? Favorite actor in the MCU by far. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah.
I will be looking forward to that. But the most interesting thing about that, I don't know if you saw this, but Thor's actually listed to be playing in it.
Oh, dude, yeah. I like Fat Thor.
I think it was funny. I don't want him to be Fat Thor.
I was hoping when that lightning struck in Endgame, he would just get skinny instantly. But it did not happen.
I think they kind of meant for it, but you can't see it as well.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he was actually fat by that time or anything. I know he wasn't working out as much, but still.
Yeah. Though. All right. So that's all the time we have here on the Arabian Movie Talk section of WEEM Weekly Podcast. That is Ryan Fire. And I am, of course, the one, the only, the beautiful, the magnificent Jared Jackson. And I hope you listen again soon to episode 2 whenever we do that. Bye.
That concludes this edition of Weem Weekly. Listen in next time again at 917WEM.org or wherever podcasts are found.